This is the holiday season that where folks have a lot of family times, a lot of time together and festivities and a lot of good food. But this is during this season is the beginning, I guess, of what we call the holidays. The holidays, we have Thanksgiving. Then we have, I'm not even going to mention the day after Thanksgiving because I don't like that day. They call it something, I don't remember. But then we have the Christmas holidays, and we all get together and have wonderful times together and fellowship and families. And then we have the New Year. And so it all just kind of comes together, and this is the time of family times when we can come together and have good fellowship together. But this particular holiday is my favorite one. And if you have the newsletter here, it says Happy Thanksgiving. And I'd like to say that to each one of you. The Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the reason it's more blessed to us, and it's blessing to them to receive the things that they need. But God blesses us in our giving. And it's a great thing when we can have compassion on them. And that's one of the things that was out of the council over there in the 15th book of Acts. It says, remember the poor. I just want to say, first of all, about the newsletter. Brother Bill puts these articles in these newsletters with a lot of prayer and consideration. And I haven't read the one that says gratitude, but what does that mean to you, gratitude? What are you thankful for? You know, I always talk about priorities. What's your priorities today? What's number one? You know, when we think about what the scriptures teach, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. When we think about how we get things lined up, sometimes we get our jobs number one. Sometimes we get our families number one. Sometimes we get money number one. But if we get our priorities in order, mine is God, family, and country. Isn't that a good order? God, family, and country. When we get those in order, and you've probably heard me say or quote at various times, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's not what I want to speak about this morning, but I want to bring that to your mind. It says that if my people, not the people out there, not the people that don't know God, but if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. Now, those are sequences that's there. If my people, first of all, he's speaking to you, to me, to God's people who have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world, speaking to you as his people. And there's a lot of folks that do not consider the priorities that we have. God, family, country. But if we, who are the people of God, will take seriously the things that he said to us, that he said, hey, just try me, put me to the test, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing which you're not able to receive. But the order is important. humble themselves. What does that mean? That means take away all thoughts of yourself. Put God first. And Sister Tammy's heard me say this many times, and we want joy, and I use it as an acronym. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. If you'll do that order, then you'll have joy in the Holy Spirit. We can't have joy if we're thinking about ourselves all the time. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That means put God first. Recognize him as the king. He's still on the throne. I like what I saw one on Facebook say. There's all kinds of things on Facebook. I put a lot on there that probably I shouldn't have. But it said, no matter who is president, Jesus is king. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Jesus is king. And that's what we need to recognize him as, our sovereign. The one in whom we live and move and have our being. If you'll humble yourselves and pray. Now, prayer is the center of what we're talking about this morning. Gratitude. Being thankful. You know, did you ever have you do something for someone and you just think it, you just know it's a great thing that you're doing. And you do that for them and they just don't seem to recognize it. Not even say, thank you, Brother Tom, I appreciate what you did for me. You know, there was a time when there was these 10 lepers. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? They all had leprosy. Leprosy was incurable. They had leper colonies that they put people in that had leprosy. But these 10 lepers, they came to the Lord and they said, have mercy upon us. And the Lord healed all 10. He said, go to the priest and et cetera, and all the things that you can find this in the book of Luke, and I don't want to turn there, but there was 10 of them healed. But as they were going on their way, one turned around. Just one out of 10. And maybe that's a pretty good percentage, that 10% of this country gives God the glory for the things in their life. I don't know how close that is, but there was 10 healed, but one came back. Just one. And thank the Lord and praised him for his goodness. And he says, was there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Gratitude. Being thankful. In gratitude, I've said this when I was, my kids were growing up. You do things for them and they don't seem to appreciate it. That's the way kids do sometimes, isn't it? But you see, that doesn't relieve us of our responsibilities as parents to take care of them. But gratitude is being thankful for that which you have. And in this verse that Brother Bill put in here, he says, whatsoever you do in word, or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, what does that mean to you? Mama. Seek. Mama. First of all, seeking, it gives you an idea that there's something that you want, that you have a desire to have, right? You wouldn't seek something you didn't want. But seeking takes effort, too. Jesus says, if you seek, you what? Find. Knock, and it'll be opened. The other side of that coin is, if you're not seeking, you're not going to find. If you're not knocking, the Lord is not going to open unto you. But if you seek him, That means seek His presence. Seek Him with your heart, your soul, and your body, and every part of you. That's what they said. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek Him. Seek Him. And it says, well, seek my face and turn. There's repentance that each one of us needs to. Is there anything in your life that you can think of that you think you might be able to improve in? You see, the Lord says if you recognize your sin, confess it, and I will be faithful and just to forgive you that. I had a conversation with one of my nephews, and he said, I've done so many things that's bad, and God could not. He said, it's too late for me. I said, no, it is not too late. God is not, it's never too late with God. If you recognize that you have a problem, take it to the Lord. He's the one that we need to recognize as our helper. He said, I will be with you in six troubles. And in seven, I'll never forsake you. Those are promises that God has given to us. If we seek His face and turn. Now, we would like to have the Lord hear our prayer, but we don't want to do these others. But He said, if you do these things, I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal you. I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your lands. Now, with those words this morning, I appreciate the newsletter, and I appreciate all the effort that Brother Bill has put into it. I want to speak to you a little while from the First Chronicles chapter 16, and read some scriptures for you, and make a few more comments about some of the things here that I feel that the Lord maybe has given to me to speak to you about this morning. The context of this 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles is the Ark of the Covenant had been taken. And it had been in the wrong place. It was not with Israel. And the time of rejoicing in this particular place is that the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, is being brought back into the camp of Israel. Now, the question I'd like for you to think about, what is so important about this Ark of the Covenant? Now, let me read to you the verses here in the first three verses of this chapter. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the peace offerings burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. What is so important about this? It's just a little box. Really? It gives us specific dimensions of it. It had been captured by the Philistines. And what is so great about having it come back? You see, this ark represented to the nation of Israel the very presence of God with them. It was a physical thing, but it represented to them God's presence. What was in it? You remember what's in the ark? First of all, it had a lid made out of pure gold, made out of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. And God said, and he made a special thing about that lid. It was gold. And this ark was to be placed in the holies of holies in the tabernacle. And only the priest once every year could go in to that place. And it says, not without blood, but with the blood of these animals. But he said, that ark, it's called the mercy seat. He said, and here's these cherubims that's overlooking, looking down upon this ark. And the high priest comes in and he makes the offering upon, and the blood that is there from these animals goes down and it runs down upon these different things. And the mercy seat, he said, I will meet with you there above the mercy seat. So when we think about what this meant to the nation of Israel, Let me go back to 1 Samuel, if I can remember where I want to go there. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And here is where the ark was taken. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched between Ebenezer and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. When they had joined battle, Israel was smitten. Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew the army and in the field about 4,000 men. And look at verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell in Israel that day 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. The ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hephthani and Phinehas, were slain. Now, this is something that is so devastating to them. Because when God allowed the ark to be taken from them, that meant that he was not blessing them. Now notice this as we, there's a lot of material here. And as the daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered, and when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. Now think about this. The ark of God is taken. Her father-in-law and her husband are dead. Dark day, right? Bad time. But she, and it says about that time of her death, the woman that stood by said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. One of the happiest times we had a newborn in our, my brother has a new great grandchild, happy time for children. And these children, I'm thankful for them being here today. But children are the joy of parents. We had a sermon last week to little Grace. What a wonderful blessing that would be for me to grow up and later on hear a sermon from my great grandfather. Children are a happy time, but this was not a happy time for her. She didn't even answer a word. Now, notice what she said. And she named the child. What did she name him? She named the child Ichabod. If you ever have any children, don't ever name them Ichabod. Don't name them Ichabod. Now, notice what it said. The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. She named her child Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord is removed. Now, I want us to think about us as a church. These things are just as relevant today as they were then, the principles. What is the most important thing for us to come together to worship God? What is it that we want more than anything else? Is it to come and have fellowship? Yes. But it should not be. We should be coming to the church of God to worship Him. and to beg his presence and to fill his sweetness with us. If the Lord is gone, we can find this in Brother Tom over in the Revelation letter where these letters are given. And he says, except you repent, I will come and I'll remove my candlestick from his place. When the candlestick is gone, it's the same thing as the ark being gone for the children of Israel. The glory of the Lord has departed from us. Oh, how awful it would be to think about that when such things happen. And we're in dark times, dear brothers and sisters, in this nation. What are we going to do about it? The answer is in the Word of God. The answer is we are to pray. We are to seek God. We are to pray for our country. We are to pray for our president. We are to pray for our leaders that God would give us a time of peace and that he will not leave us. This is a great, wonderful country that we have. Founded upon the principles of this book. But there's been so many departures. So many things. And revolution is in the air. Let us take this time of the year. Let us, each one of us, purpose in our hearts. You know, if just this little group would sincerely pray and do what the Lord says, I believe he'd hear us. Do you believe he'd hear us? The glory of the Lord has returned. That's what this means, Brother Jim. The Lord has come back. We've got the ark back. And that was the presence of God in their minds. And they said, the Lord is back. He's back with us. And they did great sacrifices. And they had great joy. And David was out dancing. Micah didn't like it. She that was his wife. And she didn't like him out there dancing in public. But he's the king. Now, I want to read to you. If we don't get anywhere else today, I just want you to listen to God's word. Psalm 6, 2 Chronicles 16, and I'll just begin reading in verse 8. Now, if you want to take notes, you can find this particular reading from 8 through 22 is found I've written them down here in my book. Verses 8 through 22, you can find them almost word for word in Psalms 105 and verse 1 and 1 through 5. Verses 23 through 33, you can find in Psalms 96, 1 through 13. Verse 34, you can find in Psalms 106, and Psalms 107. Psalms 35, verses 35 and 36, you can find almost word for word in Psalms 106, verse 47 through 48. So when David wrote these things, they were put together in such a way that they became permanent writings that you and I can read and draw comfort from. Now, I want to read and we could go into those various Psalms, but I want to just read this for you and make a few more comments and then we'll close. Now notice verse 8. That's what this says. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Call upon the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Now, who is this Lord? Did you notice all, and I've said this, I've pointed out to you a lot of times, but when you find the word L-O-R-D in all capital letters, that's Jehovah God. That's the one that we're to give thanks to. That's the Creator God. That's the one who is the self-existent God. The one that did all of these things. He is He is the great I am. He is all in all. He is self-existing and forever present God. That's the one we're to call upon for our prayers. Give thanks unto Jehovah. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Now notice, sing unto him. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. What are we to be talking about? He says, when you're among all of your friends, when you go out to your friends, you go out to the neighbors, you go out to the store, you go to your families, what are you supposed to be talking about? Oh yeah, I like football. We got a W. And both of us, but you know, those are not the things that are important. I probably like it too much. Brother Tom, I don't mind one bit you being number one fan for the Thunder. Not at all. But you need to recognize that that's not the number one. And OU is not number one. Number one is Jehovah God. We're to sing praises unto him. And talk to him of all these wonderful things. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, that seek him. Are you seeking him? Do you want him to be present in your life? If you do, you've got to seek him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face when? Just every now and then? What does it verse? What does it say? Seek the Lord and his face continually. That means all your waking moments and hopefully in your dreams even. Seeking the Lord. Remember, oh, how often do we forget? When we get caught up in the things of the world, we get caught up in the things of our families and all the troubles and the trials of life and all the politics and all these things that are going on in our lives. We get caught up in those things. But he says, remember his marvelous works. Remember that he is your Savior. Remember that he died for your sins. Remember that remember that he's on the throne. Remember that he's still in charge of his universe. Remember the works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. Did you understand what he wants you to say? He is the Lord our God. Our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Do you recognize? Did you ever think about this? That he knows everything that's going on in every little nook and cranny of every little country in the world? You think he's surprised about stuff? You think that he doesn't know what's going on in the Mideast? You think he doesn't know what's happening over there? He knows it all. And brothers and sisters, he is a God of truth. He is a God of judgment. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, he said he is the rock. His work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment. And he's a God of truth without iniquity, just and right. You see, everything that he does is just and it's right. So what are we supposed to do about that? He said, all you seed of Israel, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. That's us. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah Elohim. He is Jehovah Elohim. That's what in the Hebrew. His judgments are in all the earth. Listen, what does it mean to be mindful of something? Be mindful of this. Put this in your mind. Let this be in your thoughts. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. Are you mindful of his covenant? You know about his covenant. Do you believe there is a covenant? You see, he said, be mindful of his covenant. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Even the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac. You say we have Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And he hath remember this. He says, put this in your mind, that Jehovah God has confirmed the same with Jacob for a law, and to Israel, that's the spiritual Israel, which I believe, brothers and sisters, we are part of it. Every one of God's elect children, one that are chosen to him and given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came at the appointed time of the Father and shed his blood for them. And every one of them, without the loss of one, will be with him in eternal glory one day. That's who he's speaking of here. And to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I give the land of Cana, the lot of your inheritance. We sing songs about Cana. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Canaan's land, brothers and sisters, was the land of promise. It was that which they were seeking to enter into. But because of the disobedience of Israel, God allowed them, suffered them to spend 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around 40 years, probably in an area not much bigger than the state of Texas for 40 years. Why? Because they did not give God the glory that he deserved. They murmured, they complained, they griped about all the things that God had given them. And not a single one older than 20 years old entered in to Canaan land. Every one of them, Brother Tom, we've studied this. Every single one of them died in that wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. You have an inheritance. It's been given to you by grace. And it's this church, Canaan's land. It's the place where God said, I'll meet with you. When we were, notice he says, he wants you to remember this. When we were but a few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they were, went out from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them any wrong. He reproved the kings for their sake. They were special. He said, not one. Now notice what he said, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. These are God's children and he loves every one of them. And he takes it personal when people persecute them. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Now this is what we can do. Show forth from day unto day. Show forth from day unto day his salvation. Can you do this? Can you do this? This is something that each one of us, every single one of us that's sitting here today can do this. Declare his glory among the heathen. That's declare his glory among those in the world that don't believe the same as you. Testify to God. You know, the greatest testimony that you can have is to live a life depicting him. Sister Sylvia and I talked about what a Christian is. It's not something you wear on your neck. It's not something that you profess out here in the world, but it's something that you do. It's what's in your heart. It's what God has given you to profess him to the world and be an example for others that they may see his good works. See your good works and give him glory. That's what a Christian is. Being Christ-like. And oh, how I fail so much in my life. But we can declare his glory among these people. You know, how in the world is anybody ever going to want to come visit us if you don't tell them about us? Tell about his marvelous works among all the nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared among all gods. G, small g's. All little gods. He's to be declared, he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, and he's the God of all other gods. You know, remember what they did when they put old Dagon up in there with the Ark of the Covenant? They went in. They just said, well, we want, and it's okay, you know, you got your God and we got our God, and we'll just be okay. We're all working to get the same place, aren't we? I mean, you got your God and he's your God. And how many gods was there in when we looked over there on Mars Hill? He said, I looked around and I say, oh, your devotion to all these gods. He said, but there's one God that you have written on it, an inscription to the unknown God. Him I declare unto you. There is only one God. There's a whole bunch of gods. They worship a lot of different things, but there's only one God. They took old Dagon in there and they put him in the midst right there by the Ark of the Covenant and said, we'll worship you, worship your God, and we'll worship ours. They go back in and he'd fall over. They set him up. What kind of God is it if you got to go around setting him up all the time, huh? They go in there and they set him up. You don't be falling over. You're our God. They go back in there the next time he's falling down, he's broken all to pieces. You see, they can't stand in the presence of God. Now notice it says, for all the gods. Now notice, I want you to listen to this. These are little gods. For all the little gods, all the gods of the people are what? Idols. Idols. But the Lord, Jehovah, the King of Kings, the one that created the world and all everything in it, but Jehovah, he made the heavens. And glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and goodness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring glory, due his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, how awesome that is. We find verses in the New Testament, and we got just a few minutes, and I want to just tie some of these things together about what we're trying to bring to your attention. I commend the rest of this chapter to you. Look up the Psalms that is referenced here. But it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Notice he says, pray without ceasing. You say, Brother Allen, how can we pray without? How can we be praying all the time? I mean, it says pray without ceasing. That means pray all the time. That's what it really means. Be praying all the time. You know, I got things to do. I don't have time to be praying all the time. But that's what the Word says. Pray without ceasing. That don't mean you have, you know, people have so much, they limit God and they limit the prayer. They think prayer is the only time you can pray is when you're on your knees or in your closet. That's time. That is a time that God has given. But you see, I can pray going down the road. I can pray when I'm driving. I can pray when, you can pray when you're at work. You can pray when you're at school. You can pray. I mean, I don't know how many times I prayed while I was taking them tests. How many times did you pray, brother, when you're up there with all that stuff going on? It's what got you through, wasn't it? God is good. Pray without ceasing. Why? Well, it's a commandment, first of all. I mean, that's a good reason to do it, isn't it? God said do it. Pray without ceasing. Now notice, it says, in everything, give thanks. Notice it did not say, for everything, give thanks. Didn't say that. It said, but in everything, give thanks. Did you know we can give thanks in every circumstance and in our life? We don't have to give thanks for those things, but in everything that we have, in all the troubles and the trials, the very saddest times in our lives, we can pray to God. Very saddest times in our lives when one of our loved ones has died, when one is sick and we don't know what to do, and all we can do is say, well, I can't do anything, I guess I'll just pray. When you ought to be praying anyway, in everything, Give thanks. Listen, for what? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we pray continually. Having an attitude of prayer. Now I'll close with the... Brother Bills loves these verses over in Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now notice, and see if you can relate any of this stuff to today. See if this kind of makes maybe a little bit to do with what's going on. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. That happened? Now, depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and condemning and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Now listen, this is Brother Bill's verse. He said, every creature of God is good and nothing to be received if it be received with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now notice, he says, and this Brother Bill says, the it right here, just put a blank in there and put anything in this you want. Put a blank there where the it is. For it, whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you're having to have to pray about, he says, for it is sanctified by the word of God. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. It is sanctified. That means God has blessed it. Now, in closing, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, this is the conclusion of the whole thing. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? Note, a sacrifice is something that costs you something. What kind of sacrifice can we offer? They offered sacrifices of blood and all the animals in the Old Testament. We don't offer those now, but we offer sacrifices. He said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. In our workplaces, talk to people about God. Invite them to come to church. Tell them how much tell them how much God's done for you. You have anything to be thankful for during this season? Oh, Sister Z's favorite song. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. How long would it take you to count them all? He says, offering continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, this is a sermon we call, this is Brother Allen gave his Thanksgiving sermon today. Yeah. But brethren and sisters, this is my sermon every day. Not just once a year. That we need to, but during this time in the season, these things are brought more vividly to our minds and our hearts. But Thanksgiving is something that we do every single day. It's just not one day a year, but it's every day. The presidential proclamation, it says, Brother Bill said, it has seemed to me to be fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, gratefully, acknowledged with one heart and with one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last day of Thanksgiving of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefit, to our beneficial Father who dwelleth in heaven. Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln, 1863. I want to wish you the happiest holiday season. But oh, how we need to be sincerely seeking our Lord during these times of trouble. May the Lord bless you with these words. And I appreciate your kind attention. You've been very attentive. I appreciate your prayers. God bless.